Good morning, everyone. We certainly miss you all and would so prefer standing behind our pulpit, seeing the whites of your eyes, being able to greet you. But we're thankful at least that we have this technology where we could still have this opportunity and the privilege of sharing God's word with you. On a personal note, Kathy and I just want to say to you that we miss you all so much, and we certainly look forward to that time, prayerfully very soon, when we will be back together in our beautiful sanctuary, worshiping the Lord. I say very soon because I'm speaking in faith. You know, our God is a great God. He's an awesome God. And just one word from his mouth, and the scourge can be totally obliterated, and our life could return to normalcy. So let's continue praying to that end, because we know God is able. In the meantime, we continue to pray for all of you. We trust that you are doing well, and we know that as you lean hard on the Lord, God is proving himself faithful. Well, this morning is Palm Sunday, as we know, but I am not going to be preaching a Palm Sunday message, but rather what the Lord has laid on my heart. And by the way, if you are picking up this message on our website, I would like to encourage you to scroll down and see that there is also a PowerPoint that accompanies this message. And even though you can't see my face this morning, you could at least be following with the PowerPoint slides that will bring to your attention the scriptures that I'll be reading and other tidbits of truth. Well, the word that the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It's a familiar passage of scripture, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. And God helping us this morning, I wish to speak to you on the subject of the spirit of fear. You know, with each passing day, the crisis that we're going through makes our lives seem really more and more surreal. Now, I wake up in the morning and I just wonder what in the world is going on in our world today. We are living in unprecedented times and experiencing something the likes of which most of us have not ever in our entire life ever experienced or ever thought possible. We look at the statistics and we're alarmed by the daily numbers that continue to climb of those that are being infected by this virus, and certainly more sadly of those who have succumbed and have now become its victims. This COVID-19 pandemic has taken almost 60,000 lives worldwide, and we're now getting close to 7,000 in the United States alone. We deeply grieve over these untimely and tragic deaths. But if you'd allow me to digress for just a moment, to add this parenthesis, this observation, to provide for us some perspective. Yes, it's horrifying to consider that 60,000 people have died from this awful disease. But how is it that we don't even bat an eyelash when we consider that during the same period of time, there have been over 10 million abortions that have killed the lives of precious, innocent babies? Yeah, do the math. That's not 10 times more deaths, 20 times more deaths, or even 50 times more deaths than those that have been taken by COVID-19. It is 167 times more death from abortion than from this pandemic. In the United States, we're nearing 7,000 mortalities And during the same time that those 7,000 people have died, 190,000 babies have been aborted. I find that profoundly disturbing. And if only we would feel as passionately about being rid of the scourge of abortion as we are about being rid of this pandemic. God help us. Because COVID-19 has become such an evil and wicked threat to our very lives, not to mention a threat to our livelihoods, our jobs, a threat to our economy, a threat to our future, and for some, they're even feeling this thing has become a threat to my sanity because I'm going stir crazy being within the confines of the four walls of my home. The result of such a tsunami of evil and uncertainty has resulted in a second pandemic, if you please, that is even more deadly, more widespread than COVID-19, and that is a pandemic of fear. It is gripping the hearts of Americans everywhere. We're now being told that if there is not a turnaround soon, and if we stay in a lockdown mode and go into an economic depression, that greater than the number of deaths that may result from this virus, there will be far more who will die because of being infected with the poison of fear. This pandemic is causing people to succumb to hopelessness. They're spiraling down into a deep depression, a despair, and a despondency. Now, all that is taking place, as bizarre as it may be, for us as Christians, it really should come as no surprise, because Jesus forewarned us that such times would come. In the Gospel of Luke, we read, "People will be so afraid, they will lose all hope, wondering what is coming upon the world." Well, that's the reality of those without Christ. But not so for the believer, because Jesus forewarned us not to be taken by surprise when these things happen. He plainly told his disciples what to look for in the last days. And we read in that familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew 24, "You will hear of wars nearby and revolutions on every side, with more rumors of wars to come. Nations will go to war against each other, and kingdom against kingdom." And by the way, let me just mention that that word nations in the original language is ethnos, and Jesus is speaking there of people groups. And we see that so much today, that there is one people group going after another people group. Sadly, even in America, there is so much racial divide, so much hostility toward other ethnicities. I'm so glad for High Street Worship Center, where a multiplicity of ethnic groups and peoples come together and worship God as one body in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus said, "There will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportion, horrible epidemics." Did you hear that? Horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. Many signs that Jesus spoke of in this passage, but our focus is on the inclusion of the pestilence that he spoke of. That word in the original language means a deadly infectious disease. And the dictionary definition of pestilence is a highly contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent, insidious, and devastating. we are seeing that right before our eyes in the day in which we are living. These are troubling times to be alive. But in the midst of all of this terrible news, Jesus issues this imperative to his disciples: do not be afraid. These things have to happen. I read those words, "do not be afraid." In other translations, we read, "don't be alarmed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be troubled." And I have to ask myself, as I see so many in the world in which we live, in our own community, can we say we're free of being troubled? You know, that word means to be troubled in our minds, to be frightened, to be alarmed. And isn't that exactly what fear does to us? It troubles our minds. It robs us of our peace. We become worried and apprehensive and anxious. But you know, anytime Jesus saw that in his disciples, it really perplexed him. It puzzled him. And he would rebuke his disciples. How often do we need to be reminded of what he taught us in the Sermon on the Mount? These are passages of scripture that we really need to marinate our souls in and renew our minds by this truth. Jesus said, "This is why I tell you, never be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as water, food, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing?" And then he says, "Look at all the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food. Yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require?" Doesn't our Heavenly Father know in this time of crisis those who are his and what their needs are? And we're reminded in Psalm 91, verse 7, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now I want us to shift our attention to our text, where Paul elaborates to Timothy concerning what Jesus taught his disciples about the importance of not being afraid. It's a familiar passage of scripture, as we've already read, but it's one that we definitely need in our arsenal, especially in this season. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I really like the Passion translation of this verse, which we read earlier. "For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control." You know, one of the dangers of becoming so familiar with a verse of scripture is that it can become so easily just mere words. But let's be reminded this morning that we're talking about the Word of God. The scriptures tell us that the Word of God is powerful. There are so many metaphors in God's Word that describe the power of His Word. It's a sword that pierces. It's a seed that, once it is planted, has power to reproduce. It's a mirror that reflects. It's food that nourishes. It's a lamp that shines. It's a fire that consumes. It's a hammer that smashes, and it's truth that transforms. So let's look more closely at this verse this morning and ask God's Spirit to take His Word and to transform us by it today as we hear it and receive it into our hearts, so that we might be delivered from our fears, walk in peace, because we have the Prince of Peace living on the inside of us. I think there are some clear conclusions that we can draw from what we've read in verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit, and if it's a spirit, it's safe to say it's not a spirit that has anything to do with God. The Bible says that fear has torment, so we can safely say where it has its origins, from the very pit of hell. And we as children of God are not to be afflicted with the spirit of fear. And that brings us to the second conclusion we can reach from this verse, and that is a spirit of fear is something that is given to us. Paul said to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And if we have a spirit of fear, it's because we have received it. Oh, the enemy is so very glad to give it to us, because the Bible tells us in John 10:10 that he's a thief, and he comes with one goal, one objective, one strategy: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the devil today is having a real heyday as he's robbing believers of their peace and their joy. You know how he does it? He does it as we respond to our circumstances by listening to his voice and removing God out of the equation. And that's why I encourage us to turn our TV off, because all they are producing every minute of the day is negative news that is only generating fear. The enemy convinces our puny little minds to believe that COVID-19 is somehow greater than God, and that God is not big enough to take care of me. That's the enemy's work. But John 10:10 tells us that while the thief has only one thing in mind, to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy, Jesus comes to give us everything in abundance, more than we expect, life in its fullness, until we overflow with his blessings. And part of that life that is overflowing is God's Spirit, who is given to us not as a spirit of fear, but rather, listen to what the scripture says here. There's a heavenly threesome that God gives us that drives away fear. It is the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. First of all, notice with me that the Holy Spirit gives us power. And trust me, and I think you know this as well in your own life, that it takes power to drive out fear. The word power that Paul uses here is the same word that is used in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word is dunamis. It's the same word from which we get dynamite. It's explosive power, and that's the power that God pours into us as we open our hearts to his Holy Spirit. That power comes in and destroys the power of the enemy, the spirit of fear that seeks to infiltrate our minds and bring us into bondage. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesian Christians the way he did. It's a prayer we need to be praying, especially in these days, because it contains the secret and the key to being delivered from the spirit of fear. Read with me, beginning in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power. How? Through his spirit in your inner being. Why do we need to be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you see, Christian friends, when we come to understand the love of God, it becomes the rock-solid foundation from which we live our lives. But the only way that we can come to know the love of God is through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit reveals that to us, we come to understand that God loves us so much that he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And Paul tells us in Romans 8:32 that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with Jesus graciously, freely give us all things? Our souls bathe in the wonder of this God who would love me so much that while I was far away from him, that he would woo me to himself. I love that passage of scripture in Jeremiah 31, where God speaks to Israel, I have loved you with a love that lasts forever, and so with unfailing love I have drawn you to myself. And how many times did Israel forsake God? How many times did Israel go her own way, forsaking God, chasing after other lovers? But time and time again, God wooed Israel back to himself. You know, something happens when we get the revelation of God's love. It becomes a transformative experience. And do you know what happens? We get a sound mind. You know what a sound mind is? It is a mind that is self-controlled. And when the storms of life rage, you don't lose it. You don't lose your mind. Make no mistake about it, Christian friends. I want you to know the storms are here, obviously. But when this one passes, there will be others that are yet to come. The Bible tells us the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And Jesus promised us, in this world, you will have tribulation. But he also promises us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us because he has set his love upon us. And he tells us, do not fear. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God. Come what may, nothing shall ever be able to separate you and me from the protective covering and care of our God. In the world in which we're living, with this pandemic pressing hard upon us, we need the persuasion of the Apostle Paul, who said, "Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love." So now, verse 38, he says, "I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstance that can weaken his love." Verse 39, "There's no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ." What wonderful words, words of life. If we could allow these words to enter into our heart, it will banish every thread of fear. It will banish and obliterate all anxiety, all worry, and will fill our hearts and minds with the wonderful peace of God, knowing that we are his beloved, knowing that we are the apple of his eye, and no evil shall come nigh our dwelling. Oh, there will be trouble, there will be heartache, there will be pain, there will be suffering, but we will conquer, because through Jesus we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Someone shared this with me this week, and I thought it was so good. It was the personal confession of a pastor concerning COVID-19. He said, "Let it be known, if I don't catch it, he covered me. If I do catch it, he's going to keep me. And if I die from it, I'm with him. So no matter what happens, I win." David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. And if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Here's the challenge this morning, Christian friends. God has given us his Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, we're told he's given us his Holy Spirit. Why? So that we can be his witnesses. If there was ever a time the world needed a witness, it's now. If there was ever a time the world needed to see that there are people who know their God, who can live victoriously in the midst of the calamities that are falling upon the face of the earth, it's now. The world needs to see believers with their heads on straight. I love the graphic that I came across this week. It's a picture of a woman who's on the phone calling the authorities and saying, "I'd like to report some people who are not living in fear." Would you and I be in that number of those who are not living in fear? Can we be of that company who will shine our light? Because instead of the fear, spirit of fear, we have power, the power of his Holy Spirit, revealing to us God's love from which we can never be separated. And when we get that revelation, it gives us a sound mind, a self-controlled mind. Now we're not thinking the worst, we're thinking the best. we're understanding and acknowledging and declaring that you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my refuge. I run into you and I am made safe. May God take these truths and seal them to our hearts today, that we would be delivered from the spirit of fear, and that we would live our lives in such a way that we would bring honor and glory to him always. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your powerful word today. We thank you that you've not given us the spirit of fear. And if there are those today who are listening to the sound of my voice and they are bound by a spirit of fear, I pray that your word would be like a hammer that destroys that yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus, that they would be set free as they allow the Holy Spirit to bring the revelation of your love. Oh, how you love us. God, help us to marinate in that truth. Help us to know that nothing, not even COVID-19, can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we thank you for the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to pronounce a benediction over you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.